Hey, it's me, Captain Carter. It's been a while. So I thought I'd just explain where I've been. Basically, I've been rejigging a lot of stuff that I've been doing. So I sort of thought writing Patreon isn't really something I want to do. Like, I don't want to charge people for part of a story. It just, to be honest, I barely want to charge people for a full story. When people buy my book, I'm always like, wow, somebody's actually wants this. You know, if I was a millionaire, like if I had my own business and I had enough money to afford to just print books and give them to people who would enjoy them, I would do. Because I really would like books to be more accessible. I'd like to live in a world where books could be cheaper and authors would still be able to make a living. That's the world I'm trying to create with Half Planet Press. So yeah, I've been working very hard on that. I've also booked a table at Manchester Comic Con. Now, I'm not famous enough to be a guest yet on their sci-fi panel, so I decided, okay, I'll just do it myself. So I've got Half Planet Press has a bookstall. We'll be selling, well, books, obviously, but also science fiction, action figures and stuff. My good friend Sean, who you can find as Sean's Photo Dump on Instagram, he designs like Glio's figures, does 3D prints and stickers and that kind of thing. He's a really good artist. And I thought, why not help another artist out? So I'm buying a table and he's sharing the table with me. And in return, he basically just needs to man the table every now and again when I need to go and buy an energy drink because we'll be there for about 15 hours, have a nap, and then we'll be there for another 15 hours the day after. So yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. On top of that, I've been getting good at Minecraft. I've joined a new server with my friends, and I've been practicing getting really good at Redstone, which is like the circuitry inside Minecraft. You don't need to know it to play the game, but it's like a bonus kind of thing. It's the difference really between regular Lego and Lego Technic. So, you know, the regular base Minecraft game is you just place blocks, and when you want something, you go out into the world and you pick it up. So, if you want some wheat to craft a hay bale, you go out and you'll farm some wheat. Now, there's ways to automate those processes. And people, especially autistic people, to be honest, which actually, oddly enough, seems to also be my primary audience for sci-fi, which is interesting. But yeah, I've found like a little group of, what's the word? Neurodivergent people who really like my Minecraft content and want me to create more. So I'm going to be doing that. Trying to do that, trying to do something good for people to give back. Because I watch a lot of Minecraft YouTube and it's usually like smaller creators as well, I really like supporting. And people have asked me, oh, I wish there was a way to build like a machine that would automatically sort my items and then put the items in a box and then put the box somewhere for me. So I've designed stuff like that for people. I'm going to do tutorials on it soon. And then, if you're still listening, this is a big update. On top of that, on top of all of that stuff, Who Built the Humans is selling to the point where I'm making a profit. I've moved into Facebook and Twitter advertising and I'm making a profit on my adverts. It's not a massive profit, but it's scalable. So as and when I have more money, I'll put more money into it. And I'm refining the adverts as well. At the moment, my cost per click's pretty crap. But I'm making it back through book sales anyway, which is fine. But if I got the cost per click down, I'd basically be tripling my money on the adverts, which is amazing. So fingers crossed that works. I applied for a passport and it got rejected. So I basically paid £95 to have an argument on the phone. They also called me while I was on the toilet, which is nice because I've now got some stand-up material. So yeah, I'm getting into stand-up comedy as well. So it's basically, you know, if you've not heard from me for a few months, I'm doing a load of crazy stuff. And the big news, the really big news is that, well, do you remember Who Built the Humans? That book I brought out. Now, I said to myself, I should bring out a book a year. That book came out in 2020. It's 2022 now, and I've not brought another book out yet. But I have published another person's book last year, so I was spending my time on that. Can't do everything. So technically, I did publish a book every year so far. And that sounds like a big, it's this weird goal because to some people that sounds impossible and to others it sounds easy. I know people who publish 10, 15 books a year. They write them as well. But I can't do that. I think my stories tend to be quite a bit denser and I like to put a lot of time into thinking about them. My grammar's not perfect, so you know, in the future I'd like to get an editor that would not just fix it and make it boring, but would understand that sometimes I have speech patterns in writing where I've made an error on purpose. Like sometimes I'll use a verb where it shouldn't be, and somebody will say, "Why have you done that?" Well, that's on purpose, but other times I'll do it by accident, and it's hard to find somebody and to build that relationship with them. Anyway, I've been delaying for 5 minutes and 24 seconds now. Lax Morales is not dead. If you've read Who Built the Humans, you'll understand what that means. He's back. Technically, he still is dead. It's a prequel. I'm writing a trilogy. It's going to be called the Earth Loop Trilogy because it's a funny word for me to say. I invented it myself, and it's very difficult for somebody with my accent to say. So to test out, you know, being on the radio, which is also something I'll get into in a minute. I've applied for a job in the radio. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff. So I'm making a trilogy based on the Furukawa universe from Who Built the Humans. If you don't know, there's 47 short stories in Who Built the Humans, each of which takes place in one of 11 universes, and they're staggered so that chapter one and chapter two aren't ever from the same universe. So the two universe, like two chapters from the same universe, are never next to each other in the manuscript. And that actually required some mathematics and some quite complicated jiggling because some of the universes interact with each other. There's a bit in the middle where Lax is doing something, and then somewhere else there's another universe where another one of his species is doing something. And if you read the book left to right, it's quite poetic because you see he's talking about this thin membrane between universes, and then the next story is another one of his kind, and he's not seen another one of his kind for like 100 years. So it's quite poetic in a way, and I don't think anybody's picked up on that yet. Because a lot, which is good, because to be honest, that means a lot of people, they get sucked into one particular universe and they follow the signposts. So if you read the first short story, it says, well, if you want to know what happens to this character, you can skip to the, you know, the 10th short story in the book. So in that way, there's, you know, there's 11 universes that intermingle, and nobody else has ever done that before and succeeded, which is why I did it and why it took so long to develop. If you're listening to this and you were one of the pre-order people in 2019, the additional 6 months of delay was due mainly to the arrangement of stories. I didn't actually write much extra stuff. In fact, I cut 20,000 words out and then added 30,000 back in that I'd freshly written. So there's 20,000 words of Who Built the Humans content that's died. But on top of that, yeah, the Earth Loop trilogy, exploring the time travel alien abduction conspiracies that Lax Morales seems to be in the center of. In Who Built the Humans? So the Furukawa universe in Who Built the Humans is complete, but the Earth Loop trilogy builds on that story and it shows you a different side of things. So it's a complete story in itself. It borrows some chapters from the Who Built the Humans, you know, maybe 5-10,000 words, because it's taking place in the same universe, but it explores the past and future lives of the characters that you know and love. And then on top of that, there's also another fiction book that I was tentatively calling Who Built the Humans 2, Return of the Humans, now with less humans. But it's not actually going to be called that because I'm saving that title for in the future. If I do actually feel pressured to make a second Who Built the Humans, I might do it. And by pressure, I don't mean by the fans. People have asked, and that hasn't concerned me in the slightest. I don't listen to my fans because I'm a terrible person. No, I do. But, yeah, I'm not going to write like a second Who Built the Humans until enough material is built up inside my head that it would warrant it, because I tend to overwrite by about 50%, so I like to have stuff to edit back. And at the moment, I'd be filling the space. I don't like doing that because I think that's when writers are at their worst, when you think, right, well, I've got to have this many words, but I've only got a smaller amount, so I have to force more words out. And they always wind up crap that way. So I prefer to like have a big draft. Like one of the first drafts of Who Built the Humans was like somewhat ridiculous, like 225,000 words. It's stupid. It had some short stories from other collections that I'm not going to name because I'm never going to publish them. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. So and then on top of all of that, on top of applying for radio, on top of getting a stall at Comic Con, on top of writing a trilogy, which by the way is either going to come to Kickstarter or Patreon, depending on which way is easier. I feel like Patreon's more secure for me, but I don't know how many people are going to join it. I think it could be a good idea. There's potentially, like, you know, less financial risk there, but I also want to use a Lego Patreon because I design digital Lego as well. Basically, a lot of my life, and I'm 29 now, a lot of my life has been spent thinking, right, I've had all of these good ideas. Which ones do I actually invest my time into? Because if I do a bit of all of them, I'll probably never complete any of them. So I had to abandon, like, the Stephanie Glitch, which is a novel I was writing, to finish Who Built the Humans. And I finished the Stephanie Glitch in 2016 and submitted her for publication. And now it's 2022 and I'm doing that again because she had to be put somewhere else. She's a lot shorter now as well. The book's a lot shorter. Yeah, and on top of all of that, I'm getting a book funnel account when I next get paid, which is in about a week. And I will launch some books there for free. So if you're listening to this, tune in next time, or maybe a time or two after, you'll get an entire book for free. The next book is going to be called Hologram Kebab, and it's about a kebab which is a hologram. It's also about life. Death. It's not really about life, it's mainly about death. It's like a little smaller, more distilled version of Who Built the Humans. The stories don't intermingle or interconnect in any way. There's less of them. They're shorter and punchier. And it's sort of like those little short story collections you see in Waterstones, which you can read during like a 10-minute train journey. I think there's a lot of... I used to be quite uppity about that kind of stuff, and I probably still am. But I think I've realised there's a utility for it. Not even a market for it. I don't much care about that. I just think people are going to enjoy having short stories. Who Built the Humans is a short story collection, but it does... I've had comments where people have been spooked, you know, sort of intimidated by the scope of it and not picked it up because of that, which is a bit upsetting because I, you know, like I said, I spent six, seven months of the development time trying to make it accessible. So trying to make a book that is very complicated underneath, but very enjoyable to read. You know, you can read the Furukawa universe in any direction. You can read the stories in any direction, and the book still makes sense. Now, that was an immense technical challenge, and I'm really proud of it. To be honest, I probably shouldn't mind if people look at the book and say, well, it's not for me. It seems too complicated, because it just means that person's probably just misinterpreted it or isn't in the place at the moment where they can consume literature, which is a bit zany and a bit weird. But that's the thing, is you can just consume it on face value as well. Like there's silly poems about people being touched by aliens in the middle of Who Built the Humans. You know, the very same people who've enjoyed the really complicated subtleties, you know, trying to find where Lax Morales is hiding, because spoiler alert, he sneaks between a few of the universes. He pops up here and there. People have discovered him in various places. The people who enjoy that kind of stuff, they also enjoy the butt jokes as well. So I think it's a book for people who enjoy complicated time travel narratives and butt jokes, which might not be a massive audience, but it's a very dedicated audience. I've got two pieces of fan art so far. When my printer gets working again, I think I'm going to print those fan arts out. I don't know where I'm going to put them. I think just stick them to my ceiling above my bed so I wake up, Who Built the Humans fan art is staring at me. I think that would be very motivating. I'd like to put them in a frame as well. I'm not telling the people that I'm doing this. They'll probably find out by listening to this podcast. In fact, this is how I'll find out if they're listening to this podcast. Hello, Ozymandias. Hello, Angie. Thank you for the fan art. If you're listening to this, which, you know, wouldn't be surprised if you don't. You both have lives. But if you are listening to this, thank you for the fan art. That's the thing, I don't have a life. I have books and Minecraft, mining and crafting. So yeah, I'm going to get really good at Minecraft and build stuff for people and show tutorials and things like that. And also Lego. So I'm debating, you know, I sort of want to use the Patreon for Lego because I've got like 3,000 Lego followers. I think it would become a passive income very easily. Building it, like I'll build a Lego city and the instructions will be on Patreon. I think that's a lot better. The instructions are also going to be on Amazon, but it'll be more expensive on Amazon, so people will feel more inclined to go on the Patreon, basically. And then when they're at the Patreon, they find bonus content. So I sort of want to lure people to Patreon by making it cheaper than everywhere else, which sounds counterintuitive, but I'm not really in the business to make money. It's weird because like making money is sort of like a byproduct of Patreon, and it's nice because I need money. But what I really want is a network. I want all of my things to work together in a network, so it's almost alive. I remember Roof from All FM Manchester, the first radio host to ever contact me without me contacting her first. In fact, I'd not bothered anybody. And on the week she contacted me, I was sitting down thinking, right, I've published Two Built the Humans. I now need attention. I need to find a radio host to talk to. And I was looking around at like Radio Manchester and stuff, and I got a message on Twitter from Ruth at All FM, and she said, I really like the look of your book, Who Built the Humans. Do you want to come in for an interview sometime? I thought, oh my God. In fact, I didn't reply to her for a few days, and she'll testify to this. Is that the right word? I didn't reply to her for a few days initially because I thought, this is too good to be true. She's going to sell my organs on the black market. But she never did, and we've become good friends, which is really nice. But yeah, she knew that Who Built the Humans had a personality. She said, "It's this book feels like it's got its own personality." And I love that because it does. I try really hard to... You know, I don't believe in like ESP and all that stuff, despite the fact that my family's riddled with those kinds of weird experiences. I try to be skeptical of everything, including my own existence, which if you've read my poetry collections, you'll understand. I'm pretty much in a perpetual state of disassociation and existential crisis. But no need to get a doctor involved because I find it funny and it works out well for, you know, the literature. It's like David Bowie in a way. I'd like to hope I'm like David Bowie. At least the cheekbones. I don't know if I could manage to develop the artistic skills that he had. And there were skills, because talent and skills, you know, he had the talent, but he really worked on himself for like 50, 60 years. And he's just always improving. You won't see that from another artist, I don't think, for a century or two. We just won't see that again. There's people with like comparable sounds and stuff. What was I initially talking about? This happens every time I think about David Bowie and get distracted. That's like literally all the people that I know. That's what we have in common between us. There's a little tiny David Bowie living inside all of our brains that every now and again takes over. That'd be a good idea for a sketch. You should kill the President of the United States, Jeremy. It's me, David Bowie, from 1986. Oh, but I don't want to kill the President, David Bowie, please. You must kill the President, Jeremy. It's the right thing to do. And the world is going through changes. I'm so sorry. That was dreadful. What the hell am I talking about? I hope you all enjoyed this. I'm literally just sat in my room on my own. The cat's watching me from the corridor, thinking, oh God, it's happening again. He's having one of his turns. But yeah, I'm 18 minutes in. I've told you a lot of stuff. So let's do a recap. This looks like a sales pitch. And I've got a shirt store. I forgot about the shirt store. I'm making offensive space-themed t-shirts. One of them has the word fuck on it. And I'm going to buy one when I get money. I'm really excited. So yeah, t-shirts. I'm going to get a Patreon for my Lego, probably. That means that the Furukawa trilogy, time loop, earth loop trilogy, whatever I'm going to call it, needs to be on Kickstarter. And it's going to be, each episode's going to be like set out like an X-Files episode. So the formatting's going to be episodic. So I'm going to make a very complicated time travel narrative. But like Who Built the Humans, I'm going to take, you know, a philosophical leaf from Who Built the Humans, make it quite a dense narrative, and it's really going to be about the relationships between these people. You know, there's a bit where Bridget goes back in time and she actually lives for a long time in the past, and then the day before her younger self disappears, she visits her own mom and says, Mom, I'm gonna go missing tomorrow. I'm sorry, but I've missed you all this time and I'd like to look after you. So like an older version of Bridget, who's older than her own mom, turns up and says, my younger self's gonna go missing tomorrow, there's nothing we can do about it. So she doesn't miss any time with her mum. Her mum doesn't miss any time with her, but she misses 40 years with her mum. And it's like a very emotional scene. It made me cry writing it. And I've not even finished it. So yeah, I hope you guys like it. That'll be on Kickstarter. I've got a Teespring store, which I'm not making a sales pitch on this podcast. I'm just telling you about it because this is like a life update. And it's going okay. I've sold one or two shirts. And we're now up to 20 minutes on the recording, which is pretty cool. We've got a limit of 30 on the browser, which is really good for you people because you've probably tuned out by now. Yeah, and I'm going to do some ASMR content as well at some point, which is why I'm getting back into practicing here. And what else am I doing? I think that's it. Oh, wait, no, I've got two poetry collections due out. I've got False Vacuum, Branch Density, and actually the other one. So I've got a third one. False Vacuum, Branch Density, and the other one. The other one's a fun one. I like that. I'll tell you about it another time. But, yeah, it's been a very interesting few months. And the next podcast I'll put up will be a poem. I'll read you all a poem. But this was just a life update where I've been. So I hope that was informative and perhaps not overwhelming. Reading it all out has been a bit overwhelming for me, to be honest. I'm like, God, I've got a lot of stuff done. And I've got a lot of stuff that needs to be done. I'm proofing a paperback right now. Actually, as I'm reading this, I'm looking at the paperback. Because that kind of stuff keeps me happy. You know, multitasking makes my brain happy. Or at least knowing that there's another task around the corner. Maybe that's why I like Minecraft so much. I just automate everything. Anyway, thank you for joining. I've been Captain Carter, and you can now find me on Instagram on a new account, which isn't Shadowbanned, and it's called Calling Captain Carter. Very simple name. Hard to forget. Very easy to pronounce as well for somebody with my accent, which is important because I live in the north of England, and some people, they didn't understand the word Arthur. They thought I was saying Arthur, and that's like, that's a fault of my accent. So I thought, okay, I need a rebrand. There's other reasons as well, you know, such as upsetting Mark Zuckerberg by telling somebody to step on a rake and having all of my comments disabled. Yeah, so I've moved over to like basically what used to be a Belly fan page, still is, Calling Captain Carter, where you can find comedy reels and more news and little snippets of these podcasts as well, actually, when I work out how to get them back onto my phone. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate all 8 of you. There's 8 of you now. There were 7 last time. And I just wanted to say that if you do like the look of one of my books and want to buy them, don't rush, because I've got some stuff coming up. There may be some giveaways around the corner, basically. So yeah, I've just done the opposite of what every author on Twitter does all the time. Hello, don't buy my book. Please don't buy it. I'll give it you for free. Yeah, so I'm gonna go. You've been who you are. I've been who I am, or who I was, or who I'm meant to be. Captain Carter, allegedly. Stay innovative, do weird stuff, be nice to cats, and go outside and look at a tree. Trees are pretty cool, and a lot of us need to get outside more often, to be honest. And if you can't get outside, just crack a window open. And if you can't crack a window open, put a hole through it with a boot. Bye.